Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week as we're getting our way through July and closer to football?
Are we getting closer to football, Jimmy? We are. Yes, we are. It's. I'm doing good. How about yourself? I'm hanging in there.
Surviving the heat, getting through it, getting out to golf when I can. But, hey, let's talk football. Let's talk some Penn State football.
Sure.
And this is this segment today is something I think we've been doing this every year, essentially.
We do.
Before the season starts, what we do is we rank the position groups on the roster. And just to understand the parameters, we set up 10 position groups, 5 each on offense and defense, just so you know how we set it up. On offense, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line. Defensively, at the defensive line, we split up the tackles and the defensive ends, linebackers, and then with the DBs, we split up the safeties and cornerbacks. So that's a total of 10 position groups. We ignore special teams, Andy.
Ignore special teams, but yes.
All right, if you want to put a special teams in there, we'll rank 11 groups, okay? Does that make you feel better?
Well, then that makes me change. I will insert. They have a really good kick. Penn State's kicker is really good. I think he's, I think Ryan Barker's consistent. I think Ryan Barker is not a flashy kicker, but I think he's become a solid, consistent, can be counted on weapon for Penn State. And so I'll throw him in as an A somewhere. Now that you're throwing me a curveball late, drop him in.
I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's rank the 10 position groups that I named. And then at the very end, you could say special teams, I would slot them in here. So you can put them at like 4.5, okay? Behind 4 and above 5. So, but before we get started, and I told you, in our pre-show meeting, I had no idea how my ranking would go. I did do the exercise, but I tell you what I'm finding, Andy, is I think there's a lot of good players on this team. I don't know if there's any great players on this team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they have a solid, potential 8-9 win team roster. Could they overperform? Yes. Do they have holes? Yes. Do they have great players? Do they have? No, they do not. But, they have the best of what Iowa State had that Matt Campbell brought with him. A lot of players in positions that will fill roles aptly. And so, yes, I think they have a good roster. They have a favorable schedule. We will continue to announce that. So it's kind of like 1 + 1 = 2. They don't have a great roster. They don't have an elite roster. I think you could make an argument, and we'll talk about it later. There might be one potential top 100 player in college football, on this roster. But they also have a combination of a solid roster that has experience and the ability to win and a favorable schedule.
Off the top of your head, real quick, name me their 3 best players.
Off the top of my head?
Yep, just throw out. You weren't prepared for the question, hitting you on this one.
Marcus Neal Jr. at safety.
Okay.
Rocco Becht at quarterback. And there's like four spots to go, but I'm not going any further. I don't have a third standout player. I mean, the closest might be Tony Rojas coming off injury. Fundamentally unsound, but the highest live wire ceiling you could ever want in an undisciplined linebacker. And I like that. It drives me crazy sometimes, but I also love it.
Rocco Becht, I think, may be the most important player. I'm not sure he's one of the three best, though. I think high floor, I'm not sure about the ceiling. But I think that makes my point about good players, not sure about any great players. All right, let's get started, Andy. We have the 10 position groups. We know who they are. What is your number one position group?
So this is based on strength, least concern, known what to expect, commodity.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you again, which
you
is
are.
Fair.
That's the
I am.
Time.
I apologize. Yeah, I've done it a lot, but I just want to say when I was going through this, I'm glad you brought up like your parameters for this. Mm-hmm. What I found myself doing as I was ranking them, and it just happened organically, obviously talent, but what I also ended up was using depth and experience and potential. Those were the parameters I ended up with.
Go all ahead. Kinds of factors. Quarterback's one for me. I mean, he's attempted nearly 1,200 passes as a college quarterback. He's thrown for more than 9,200 yards, Jimmy. He has 3 years as a full-time starter and 4 years of experience. He knows the offense. Several of the weapons around him are known. He has a shortcoming, but he also has a superpower. Shortcoming, he only completes 60.7% of his passes. That's subpar on a long run. His superpower, he knows how to get the ball down the field and set up the deep throw. He's a live wire thrower down the field. He doesn't have like a gun arm. He knows how to use it. He knows how to use what he has and make it a lightning bolt in a bottle. So that's a superpower. So I went with him at number one because it's the position that I think entering the season, Penn State knows. They know exactly what to expect. They know exactly what they're going to get. Depth-wise, yeah. Do they have much depth there? No. In the modern age, who has a viable number two quarterback? Not many. But at the quarterback position, I stay at the top, and I think this is a solid, very solid, known commodity. So quarterback was number one for me.
I'm a little bit surprised. I actually had quarterback number six, and
I figured that
I'm concerned about depth. I think he's really important. I would really love that to be the best position, and he's greatly experienced. I think the standout features are great experience there, no depth at the position. I think his ceiling is limited. His floor is high. So, okay, let's move on. Who do you got? What position you got for number two?
Linebacker. Linebacker's number two. You start with the live wire and Tony Rojas. Known commodity, coming off injury. Major injury, yes. But then you throw in a couple senior transfers from Iowa State who've been around the block. And they become very proficient and excel at their craft. Whatever the defensive coordinator wants to do with the linebacker position, in those three guys, he has the players and options to mix and match any way he likes. There is a modicum of depth there. Most college football programs now are using two linebackers and mixing and matching, occasionally running three linebackers. Like I said, whatever they want to do, I think every element that you could want at the linebacker position, Penn State has it. I think it's a strength. I think you have solid tackling. I think you have playmaking ability. I think you have east-west and north-south abilities. I think you can mix and match any way you want. It was a tight fit for me to pick linebacker one and quarterback two, but I went with quarterback at one just because I think Rocco is that solid. He's not an upside guy, but he's that solid, and I think that's what this team is going to need. I feel really strongly about the linebacker position as well, so I rank linebacker number two.
You know, Andy, as you're discussing it, you're causing me to rethink my rankings a bit.
Here's
the factor that I didn't put into this, which is the importance of the position.
Yeah.
And, you know, technically, when you're ranking the positions, the importance of this position over that shouldn't be part of that equation, but it kind of has to be, in that the effect Rocco Beck will have on this team, it's kind of like a good Rocco Beck at quarterback will supersede a star left guard, or you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just because
of the, you want a
right, you know, speaking of left guards, yeah,
he's a star, he's a stud.
But you know, it's like no matter how good that left guard is, there's only so much he could do for the team. So I kind of get it. I'm not sure I'd make him number one. Now, with the linebackers, I actually had them number two also, Andy.
Okay.
And I'm hitting the things like you. They're experienced, very experienced. There's pretty good depth there, especially if you're only playing two linebackers most of the time. And they've got something there at that position, a star, or at least a potential star. And Tony Rojas, his yep. ceiling may be the highest there is on the team. So I also had linebackers number two. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number one. Lots more to go with our position ranking when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. What we are doing is ranking the Penn State position groups. We split them up. There's five position groups on offense. There's five on defense. And Andy is ranking them. So far, we've got through the first two position groups in his ranking. He had quarterback number one. I disagreed, but I'm softening on that position because Andy was pretty convincing. Number two, Andy had linebackers. I also had linebackers number two. I think they have a combination of experience, depth, and a potential star in Tony Rojas. I'm still using the word potential there, and yes. I think you do too, Andy, right? But
maddening potential.
Yes. Yeah. He could be very frustrating, can't he?
Yeah, he can be the best player on the field for 19 snaps. And then he could be leaving his teammates hanging out to dry because his basic fundamentals and his overzealousness to be a playmaker, you know, leave gaps, his gap retention and you know, basics, you know, assignment details go by the wayside. So it does get maddening, but in terms of upside, yeah, he might be potentially as close as they have. I would disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think there's one other player that I think has potential greater upside, but that's just between you, me, and a fence post and everybody out there listening. But let's keep going. Well, you're gonna wait for me to announce the position to tell me what your number one, to tell everyone yes. what your number one is when I get
yes.
there. Okay.
Yes. That's what right. It was a game time decision that's how I'm gonna do it, Andy. So okay. that's where we're at. Okay, we got quarterbacks first, linebacker second. What position group is third?
Running back. When you graduate two NFL caliber running backs, you're going to take a step back. Yeah, are they going to take a step back? Are they going to take a major step back? I'm not so sure. I think they got a trio. Carson Hansen, no commodity from Iowa State. James Peeple, huge upside. There's a reason he was on the field at Ohio State. They couldn't keep him off the field. And you got Quentin Martin Jr. To me, you have a full buffet of serviceable, known, understandable options, and you have upside as well. I think you have a little bit of everything mixed and sprinkled together. It just feels like the right mix. I'm big on the running backs. I know they lost two NFL caliber backs, and it's not going to look the same, but I don't think the position potentially does not feel like it's also, you have to take a step or two back and build it back up. I think this group can hit the ground running, honestly. So I went with running back at number three.
You know what, Andy? There are times I hate you.
Okay. Why?
And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why, Andy. I hate when I make my list, because I want to so badly tell you why you're wrong. And I hate when you give your reason and you start convincing me and changing my mind. I'm supposed to change your mind, not the other way, Andy. So I have the running backs fifth. But what I will say is, not that there's a line of demarcation after one and two, but my number three, four, five, six, I can almost throw them in a bag and randomly pick them out. And as you were speaking, I looked at, you know, my four and three and said, you know what? Boy, I have running backs at five. Maybe I should have had them at three. So you were, I think the points you make are great. I really, really like this running back room. I think with Carson Hansen, you got a guy who's done it. He's experienced. Again, high four, okay? Yep. Which I think is what I'm going to say a lot about a lot of the Iowa State guys.
That's your high that's four. Your term for today. That's your go-to yes. term for today.
Yes. Someone keep tally of how many times I said high floor. But I think in James Peeples and Quentin Martin, you got potentially high ceilings there with those two guys. Don't you kind of get that feel? I'm not saying that they'll definitely become star caliber, but don't you kind of look at those two guys and say, you know, if you squint a little bit, you could see a star running back from either one of those guys?
You have completely serviceable and known with some upside options and potential that are very enticing. That's why I made it third.
And depth, you know, the fact that you've got three of those guys that you're saying all three
that's depth.
Should get time on the field, that's depth. So a pretty good call there, Andy, with the running backs at number three. All right, how about number four? Where are you going for that?
I'm bullish on this position, big time. I think I'm probably bullish than most. Safety. The transfer from Iowa State, Marcus Neal Jr., to me, he is a potential top three NFL draft pick. And I think he's the closest
to... By top three, you mean in the first three rounds?
First three rounds. And I think he's the closest thing to a top 100 player in college football this year that Penn State has on its roster. He is the complete package. And then throw in the nickel or the fifth one, it's Zion Tracy. He's another big reason I'm bullish. That combination is very enticing. They have two other Iowa State transfers and a young Penn State original in Teray to fill out the other spot. I also think they have depth. I think they have serviceable depth. I think you have three players to look at options for one spot. So I think they have a lot of high end. I think they have a question mark at the other position, but they have plenty of options that A, for that position, B, to provide depth. I'm bullish, like I said, on the position. I think safety's number four. So that is why I went safety. And I have still, have I hit your number one yet?
No, you have not. Oh, I had
Jimmy.
I had safety at number four also. Okay. I like this group. There is talent with some real high side with Marcus Neal. There's talent, there's experience, there's depth. All of those things that I put out there as my criteria, this group hits. I like this group, and this may be a little bit of an indicator of where I did some ranking. I consider Zion Tracy part of the cornerback room, okay? I understand, you know, he's the guy that, you know, you
he's the
kind
nickel.
Of listen.
He's a little bit of everywhere. He's a run support guy. He's a cover guy on the back end. He's across the middle of the field guy. I just think that's more safety than an outside edge corner. He can do a little bit of everything very well, and they'll ask a lot of him, and he'll be able to answer the bell. So to me, that is more safety than a corner, but that's like tomato. It's irrelevant.
To your point, I listed him as a cornerback and ranked him as part of that. So that probably made my cornerback ranking higher than it would be if I did it the way you did with Zion Tracy as a safety. So, all right. How about safety you have at number four? Who do you have at number five?
Well, you and your cornerback talk, Jimmy, and I might not have ranked them as high because I didn't include Zion Tracy. You would be wrong because I put them at fifth. How about that? Three of my top five are defense. Interesting. This is like the only all-known to Penn State fans position, really. I loved what I saw from Darius Dixon and Adavian Collins last year. I liked it a lot. Remember, Collins was an honorable mention all Big Ten selection. First year at the run, and he gets an honorable mention call. Not merited, right? He earned that. Terry Smith is still the position coach. Really, really good at his job. I like the depth. It just has all the football feels and elements for me of nothing super, you know, elite. This is, they've got two, you know, three guys for two spots, and they're, you know, they all have NFL potential, or they all have elite potential. No, but it has the elements and feel of stability on the back end. It just feels like 1 + 1 = 2. So for me, with that kind of football, feels like all those elements, no commodities, a little bit of next level early on, plenty of options, depth, really good coach, football elements, throw it all together. They came in at number five for me was cornerback. I have a feeling your number one was either my six or seven.
All right. Well, let's hit cornerback here first. You have him fifth. I had him third. Now, so you had safety cornerback 4-5. I had safety cornerback 4-3. Okay. I would have flipped the two if I had done like you and made Zion Tracy a safety and classified him there, I would have flipped the two. So, Andy, I think we're both very much in sync with this. And I think they're very close. And I think the Zion Tracy alone would flip the two. All right, let's sneak in your number six.
Well, my flip at the safety was Marcus Neal. But yeah, let's slide in and do number six. I went offensive line. I'm going to start by saying I'm not sure how deep they are, and I recognize that. But I'm comfortable and confident in four of the five projected starters. Anthony Duncan, Cooper Cousins, I suspect they're going to be your right side. I feel very strongly about that. I think Brock Riker at center, I think he was a transfer portal gem of a find for Penn State. I think he was a need. I just think they found the right guy, and I think they found a really good guy. And I think their left guard is going to be an Iowa State transfer. I think Trevor Burr at left guard, he made six or seven starts last year, not a full-time starter, worked his way in, young kid, honorable mention, all Big 12. In other words, the body of work was good enough to get an honorable mention call. It feels like a good first line. Left tackle, yeah, it's a question mark, for sure. There are options, both are greenhorns. I think both are Penn State recruits, Malachi and Owen. I don't know, maybe you play and start both of them in that first embarrassing four-game, whatever that non-conference schedule is. Maybe you learn a little. So that's where I go offensive line.
All right, Andy, I'll tell you what. How about we pick this up in the fourth quarter? But first, we do some Ask Andy.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. That means it's time for your questions. We're going to ask Andy. We're going to take a quick break from our ranking of the different position groups, and so we could take your questions. And Andy, let's start here with Matt from Massachusetts. Matt is one of our faithful listeners and questioners. I'm going to put this question out there, and I always tell you I have the advantage. I see the questions ahead of time. I have time to think about it.
I don't.
And you don't. And I don't have any kind of answer to this question, so we'll see if you do. Jim and Andy, if college football had a national anthem, what would it be?
A national anthem? Like a song?
Yeah. Do you want time to think about it? We could hit other questions and come back to that and give you some time.
Yeah, now you're
going to
have me spending the next 12 minutes thinking about a song. Like, I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of, I think I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because of the way it's changed and what's going on, Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Right? Like, people are very opinionated. Some think it's a total mess and the game has been ruined. We're maybe do, but maybe don't. I don't know. That's just my first guess. I'll think about it deeper. That's my first guess.
We were kind of thinking along the same line. Is it Elvis who sat, but all shook up?
Yeah, Elvis was all shook up.
That's why I think college football right now, it's all shook up, Andy. So I think we were kind of thinking along the same line. Okay, Lou from Uniontown says, and this kind of coincides with what we're talking about through the show. Hey, Andy, new staff and so much of a new team. I'm not sure if I'm excited or scared about what we're going to see. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lou. I think you should be low-key concerned, but cautiously optimistic, because I think the combination of favorable schedule and slightly above average across the board team is enticing, right? Like, if this team won, was 7-5 or 8-4, would it really be bad based on the roster they have? Maybe a little bit at 7-5, not so at 8-4. I don't think that would be very middle of the road. Can they win 9 or 10 games and overachieve, right? Like, that's the question. They have a favorable schedule. There is opportunity for this team, Lou. There is. They are experienced. They know their way around the block. So, yeah, they have some black holes, and they will be exploited. Can they keep up? They don't have to play Ohio State. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Indiana. Yeah, they can keep up. Can they win 9 or 10 games? I think eight is a realistic expectation. I think 7 slightly underperforming. I think 9 or 10 is overperforming.
Okay, I'm going to use guess what expression, Andy. I think this team has a high 4. So many solid players across the board. I think solid coaching. Solid could win you a lot of games, but it can't win you all the games. So, but
would it be a high floor if they had to play Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and USC?
And Indiana. No.
I'm leaving one of them out. If they had to play them all, I'm adding two of the three that they're not playing in. Pick your poison for any two of the three, but that's what I'm getting at. Like,
I think their floor is
higher because of the schedule. Yeah.
Yes. I think it really is. If you didn't see the schedule and just had a general, you might say, hey, this is an 8-4 team, maybe top out at 9-3, but because of the schedule. Now, this leads into, and the way you answered the question is helpful, Andy. It leads into Jason from Arlington's question, who says, every coach deserves a bit of a honeymoon period. How much leeway does Matt Campbell get in his first year with this cupcake schedule? How many losses before it's time to be concerned? I think anything less than 8-4 is unacceptable.
I think the number is 6 for concern, Jason. I think 4 is a 8-4 is a realistic met the standard, right? 7-5 8-4, it feels a little different. It also matters how you lose. And, you know, did you lose key players along the way and stuff like that, right? Did you lose your quarterback and have to go to a greenhorn, right? Did you lose your quarterback in game 6 and have to play the second half of the season with a greenhorn? That makes it different. But as it sits standard order, I think 8-4 is acceptable. I think 7-5 is slightly below standard, but not bad. I think this team goes 6-6. That's underperforming big time. That's where you, in the way you phrased it, Jason, I think that is where you have your first level of concern. If this team goes 6-6, that's not good.
And I do like how Jason framed it and used the word concern. He didn't say fire the guy, because Campbell's not going to get fired this year unless the wheels totally and completely come off the machine. Where I do think the 8-4 is valid is so much about the schedule. Okay.
I agree.
It's easy to find 3 losses: Michigan, USC, and Washington. Correct?
Potential. Yep.
Yeah. You know, they also, because it's not Ohio State or Oregon or Indiana, they could potentially win any of those 3 also. But right. I don't think anybody will be stunned at a loss of any of those 3 games. So if they ended up losing all 3 of those and being 9-3, my question is, can you really find more than 1 more loss? You know, can you, sure, for 6-6, you'd have to find 3 losses.
Right, that's underperforming. Look, remember, Jimmy, this team isn't going to out-roster all those other teams. It's going to be a more level playing field. They're going to have to play better consistently. They're not going to out-roster teams. Penn State, I'm talking about. They're not going to out-roster teams by a mile where they can play their C-plus game or their B-minus game and win by 13 points. They're not going to be able to do that. They're going to have to be a more consistent performing team to win at a higher level. So that's one factor that I think kind of sometimes gets lost is, look, the playing field, Michigan State, right? Are they going to have a little bit better roster? Yeah, but is it going to be a mild difference? No, remember, we keep talking about they don't have a lot of elite players. So, you know, those other games, they're going to win one. The potential where I see it is they win a game they shouldn't, they lose a game they shouldn't. What's the other ones look like? Are they in a more level where the roster, where they're not out rostering teams greatly with 9 NFL players, for example? Are they winning and are they able to convincingly play and perform at a level that makes it look that way? That's a big difference. So this team it's not going to be as easy to win football games as you think, but they have a comfortable ceiling, but not one that makes you be like, well, they just they can show up and put 18 minutes of really good football together and win the games. They can't do that. They don't have the roster to do that.
All right, let's go to Chris in New York, who says, who was the best under the radar coach in college football? No Cignetti, Smart, Day, etc.
Good question.
Chris, how's you thinking?
It's got me thinking big time. Who's the guy at Washington?
Is it Jed
the
Fish?
Coach at Washington? Yeah. Yep. That's where I'm gonna go. I would off real quick. Chris, you put me in the spot. I'm gonna go him.
I think that's a good call, Andy. I like that guy too. And he seems to be doing pretty well in building things in Washington, building something there. Good call. All right, let's see if we could get in Hank from Mechanicsburg. He says, Andy, why not just essentially build a team every year from the portal? You get experienced talent that you know what you're getting, as opposed to pay for a high school kid to sit on the bench for 2 years and then enter the portal anyway.
Yeah, too much money, and it costs too much money to do it in free agency only. And the second part of it is it's not sustainable year over year. In other words, it's a crapshoot every year if you go that route. You can't afford it. It's just going to cost too much money. And, you know, talent development still matters because you can make it overachieve. And you have to, you know, I like the 60-40 model, whether you go 60% roster building from the base up or 60% transfer portal. Either one, it doesn't matter. Pick your poison. I like a 60-40 either way.
You know, Andy, I'm not sure the price is as bad as you think when you factor into it this. If you're high school kids, in essence, are free agents also, okay, coming in the door. The difference is you're paying them to sit for a year or two and get nothing in return. And as opposed to paying guys, and again, you know, your point is valid, you know, like the 60-40. You can't roster 85 guys out of the portal, but maybe what you could say is, you know what, I'll have a kid, you know, underpay, be my backup quarterback, and I'll pay for a stud quarterback every year. You know,
right.
I develop depth, but I could bring in my starters through the portal that are more like sure things. It's interesting, and I'm sure it's something we'll talk about in the future, just how you build a roster. But when we come back, We're going to get back to our ranking of the Penn State position groups right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We are ranking the Penn State football position groups. We've got 10 position groups, 5 on offense, 5 on defense. We're ranking them 1 through 10. Here are Andy's rankings so far. Number 1, he has the quarterback position with Rocco Beck. Number 2, he has linebacker led by Tony Rojas, but a lot of other guys there, a lot of experience, a lot of depth there. At number 3, he has running back. Again, a very deep group. Carson Henson, James Peoples, Quentin Martin. Real good group there. Number 4, he has the safety group led by Marcus Neal, who Andy very much loves. Number 5, he has cornerback with the Penn State group coming back, including Darius Dixon, Adavian Collins. At number 6, he has the offensive line. So that's his 1 through 6. Andy, let's pick it up from there. Number 7.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you had this group higher, Jimmy. Lots of potential, not as much consistent production, and that's the tight ends. Look, I think Andrew Rapplier has a superpower, and they chose him for a reason. He has red zone prowess that will present serious problems. You love the Iowa State transfers, and why not? I'm just a little skeptical of this group collectively as a pass-catching weapon. Blocking, yeah, they can flat-out block. But I want to see this group develop in those first 4 games and become a consistent weapon. There's a lot to work with. I just don't feel it's at a level that is a difference maker. It'll take time, and that's why I put them 7.
You guessed correctly. I do have them number 1.
Yeah,
I love me my tight ends.
Yep.
And using my criteria, I think there's a lot of talent there. I don't think there's superstars there. Okay, you don't have a superstar. Maybe not like some of the players that we've seen at Penn State in the past at that position, but you have multiple really good players there. You have multiple really experienced players there. And because you have multiple really experienced players, that means you have depth there. So I think you're going to see, you know, 1, 2, 3 tight ends on the field at a time, and that could happen. Heck, we had one of the Cooper Alexander on, who a young guy, I'm not even counting in the top 3, a lot of potential with them. He got on the field a bit for Iowa State. We chatted with him, and he talked about there being 4 tight ends on the field on occasion at Iowa State. So I really love the depth of talent there. I love the experience there. I had him at number 1. Could I be talked out of it? Yeah, I could, Andy.
You should be.
I really do like the tight end group. All right.
Yeah, you like their potential. But I don't know. There's not enough realized talent for me to rank them any higher.
Well, I think if you, I think there's more reality there already. I think both Brommer and Burkle coming in from Iowa State both put up very good numbers for multiple years. I think they have proved themselves already. I think Rappelier has proved himself. You know, I don't have any evidence to back this up. People, I'm not quoting anybody, but I get the sense when, you know, the portal happened and all the folks at Penn State had to make, essentially had to make a choice of a tight end, Luke Reynolds or Rappelier. I think they chose Rappelier. Okay.
I agree.
And I think that tells you what this coaching staff thinks of him also. So I think there is a lot of talent, a lot of depth. I like the tight end group quite a bit. That's your number seven, though. Where are you going for number eight?
Defensive tackle, right? Double whammy here. High turnover, philosophy change, right? That's a two-headed monster. That means I don't know enough to rank it any higher in my book. I know the first four guys are going to be all coming from the transfer portal, and there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. They are large human beings, Jimmy. They are large human beings, hence the philosophy change. My sneaky suspicion is they're going to hold up just fine over the long run. But right now, I mean, they have experience, but right now in the Big Ten, up front, big question mark, is at the defensive line. Again, I say that with thinking they have some parts that they're going to mix and match that over the long run holds up fine. Complete philosophy change. Big human beings, very large human beings, hold it down, make them immovable objects. Take some work.
Andy, I actually had the defensive tackles number 10 in my group. Yes, they are large human beings. And they also are upperclassmen that they brought in.
Correct.
I think the one of them, he's in about his eighth year of college football. Correct. But very limited experience by him. Okay. Not a lot of starts. Even though he's, you know, like I said, an eighth year guy, and maybe because of their size, they'll do what will be asked of them is just, hey, be that immovable force, like you said, to allow others to make plays.
Right.
And so maybe that lowers the bar a little bit of what you expect from them. But I don't see depth. I don't really see experience. I see size, and that's all I'm seeing there. So that's why I had them at number 10 as opposed to your number 8.
I think less will be asked of them in this defensive scheme than most. I think being big and being immovable objects will be their only two priorities.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I said, Andy. I think less will be asked of them, so maybe to reach what the goal is for them will be a bit easier, but you know, I just don't see enough there, you know, to rank them any higher. All right, but you have them at number 8. Where are you going for number 9?
Yeah, I just can't, Jimmy. Very limited here. Still too much positional PTSD from the last 3 or 4 years to put the wide receivers anywhere else but near the bottom. I just can't see it any other way. A lot of turnover at the position again. There will get some help from the quarterback. They will get a little help from the quarterback. I know the Iowa State transfers know the drill, and they know what to do to help their quarterback. I get that. But it's been so bad. Maybe they can only go up a little bit, but yeah, that's just where I'm at with the wide receivers. They've got to show me again and again and again that, you know, I think a good first step would be to be able to make Rocco Beck's superpower, which is understanding how a defense is trying to limit him and taking advantage down the field. In other words, the first step for the wide receivers is to become a threat down the field. Second thing is to get open. Let's just be honest. They haven't been able to get open for like 4 years. So wide receivers, there's 96 reasons we could go there, but they're ninth.
Look, I have them 8th. So pretty close, but I am going to say this about the wide receivers. I think using the past to judge this group is probably unfair. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new position coach, along with not just a bunch of transfers like we saw a year ago, three new guys came in. What we're seeing are guys who are coming in from Iowa State who played under this offense, played under this offensive coordinator, played with this quarterback, and performed and put up pretty good numbers. So I don't think you could judge this group by Penn State's past. If anything, you've got to judge them by Iowa State's past, okay? Because of that, I think I rank them just a little bit higher than you. All right, that leaves your number 10 group, Andy. If I did everything correctly here in my notes, that would be defensive end.
That would be correct. Where did you have defensive ends?
Nine.
Okay, so we're, yeah, I know Kamaju flashed, and he did have some moments. He's a second-year player on the outside with an unknown defensive line, right? Flashing in spots as a role player and starting and being a full-time player are completely different. Has some upside, but I also feel he has a long way to go. It's just a big jump, Jimmy. Max Granville, he's got more baseline solid traits that he showed, but it's been such a long time, right? That was a long time ago. He's coming off major injury. I'm not sure about the depth, you know. I'm not even sure about the front line, dude. So they top my concern list. They're the bottom of my rankings in this format. I just feel at that position, that is their biggest black hole, right? There's some upside and slight, very small potential there. But I feel they're going to have to overperform consistently just to hang in there.
Okay. Andy, I had them at number nine. I had them number nine and the tackles, defensive tackles, number 10. My feeling is, in looking at it, again, you know, the potential is the word that I will use for them. Whereas at defensive tackle, it's so derogatory to say never were, okay? But the defensive tackles, they're veteran guys who haven't shown a history yet, okay? The defensive ends haven't shown that history either, but at least they're young and have potential to be something. There's a high side there. And again, I'm damning them with faint praise, Andy, because I had them number nine, okay? But, potential is the one thing that they do have here. All right, Andy, it was a fun exercise. With a couple exceptions, I think you and I were kind of on the same wavelength with the rankings. All right, Andy, that's good. That's it, though, for the show. Make sure you all join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.